Our confession of sin today is about the fear of man, which is too large, and the fear of God, which is too small. This week I want to talk about the fear of man, and next week about the counteracting fear of God. The Word of God commands that we fear God and not man, doesn't it? For example, Matthew exhorts, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." Hebrews 13 asserts, "So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" The basis of this sin is, as so many sins, is that we have too small a view of God and too high a view of man, isn't it? That's the basis of so many of our sins. Does the fear of man ever influence what you do or say, or fail to do or say? I confess it does me. I say things or don't say things that I ought to say, or don't do things that I ought to do because I think it might cost me something, or maybe even just embarrass me. I suspect that if we're candid with ourselves, we'll see that sin having an influence on each of us. Bishop J.C. Ryle says, "It's terrible to observe the power which the fear of man has over most minds, and especially the minds of the young. Like dead fish, they glow with the stream and the tide." That's a picture, isn't it? What others might think is right, they think is right. What others call wrong, they call wrong too. The fear of being looked at, laughed at, ridiculed, or embarrassed prevents many a good thing from being done or said that ought to be done or said. What will other people think of me discourages many good inclination or habits. You might think of a number of those. Witnessing, the greatest the impediment to witnessing is fear of what other men might say or how they might respond. Hesitating to pray before a meal in a restaurant because people might think that's strange. Some even do that because of fear of man. Coming into conflict with the forces of political correctness in our age, right? Now, I'm not saying that we need to seek conflict. We need to be wise in what we do, but we need never to fear to do what our duty is before God. In our daily world, in our day, worldly forces combine to silence the opposition of Christians to the new sexual and fluid gender moralities, don't they? Christians who speak or advocate for the Bible's teaching on marriage, sexual relations, and gender identity will bring down the ire of the advocates of those things in the secular faith. One can expect to be personally attacked as intolerant, to be ridiculed as a hater, a bigot, and a homophobe. There may be threats of harm against you and your family and your property, especially if they can be done anonymously. You know, it's terrible to see the vituperation that pours out on people who take a public stand. They fill up their email and anything else they can with threats against them and large amounts of terribly profane things. Those who stand for biblical truth often do pay a real cost, especially as the machinery of government is brought to bear, and we see that increasingly happening. Bakers, florists, and photographers standing on biblical truths have been assessed confiscatory fines, $130,000, $150,000. They've had their businesses all but shut down. Military chaplains, fire chiefs, media employees, professionals like Judge Moore, and others have been charged with violations of their professional codes of ethics. They use that increasingly to try to silence biblical truth. The more prominent the story becomes, the more likely the media is to pile on in its criticism, in its ridicule, public ridicule. Proverbs 29:25 warns, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be safe." Does being safe mean there'll be no cost, no worldly consequences? Certainly not. Under harsher governments and in harsher times, Christian martyrs have paid with their lives for ignoring men's threats and standing for their faith despite those threats. Proverbs 16:7 tells us, "When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him." Can a man save your soul? The Lord can. Will a man be your judge on the great and dreadful day of the Lord? The Lord will. Consider how unreasonable the fear of man is. When the path of duty is clear, we must care nothing about man's opinions. Let's take time now to confess our own sins that involve the fear of man. Father, we are so grateful that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We fear man too much and fear you too little. Help us remember that our eternal souls are in your hands and that no man can touch them. Give us wisdom in choosing our stands, but make us more fearless in standing for you, even when there are costs. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.